Father, right now in this moment, we now seek to come into alignment with your word. And Lord, as we journey through your word, we pray that you would begin to do a work in our souls and within the soul of our church, that we would come into alignment with who you are calling us to be as individuals and who you're calling us to be as a church. So breathe upon us right now, we pray. Minister to us, strengthen and encourage us, comfort us, edify us, grow us in our faith right now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 5? Luke chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 to 11 together. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked them to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. We conclude our time in these verses today, just in time for Easter. And as we've been sitting in this passage, and as we've been sitting in the boat with Simon and Jesus, we've covered quite a lot of things. We've spoken about the inclusivity of Jesus, the way in which he brought these fishermen from the periphery into his proximity. Last week, we pretty much majored on how Jesus connects the fishermen to the community gathering around his presence and his word. And he does this before he does anything else. Before they're called to purpose and destiny, before the miracle and the supernatural manifestation, before prophetic revelation, the first act of ministry by Jesus in these fishermen's lives is to connect them to a community gathering around his presence. And if you think about this, this speaks a lot about the heart of Jesus. If you think about it, Jesus could have just wandered along the shore to where the fishermen were and said to them, cast out your nets. And they'd be like, oh, we worked hard all night, we haven't caught anything, but because you say so. And they'd have cast them out from the shore, and the same miracle could have taken place. It would have saved a lot of time, it would have saved a lot of effort. But Jesus directly connects them to a community gathering around his word and his presence, which shows his heart for the church. And from that place, he then invites them to journey deeper, to take the revelation of Jesus to a deeper place and into a one-on-one journey and an intimate discovery. And this is where we drop anchor today and begin to explore this moment in the middle of the lake as we bring this mini-series to a close. Verse 4 and 5 says this, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Simon is invited by Jesus to an intimate position, a deeper position, a place away from the crowd and outside the boundaries of the assembled moment. And Simon exercises choice to step into that invitation. He could have said no. He could have said, do you know what, how about another time, Jesus? Or he could have said, now you're kicking the backside out of it, Jesus. I've given you the floating pulpit. I don't mind that. But a boat trip and a fishing expedition is just a step too far. Use your Groupon voucher another time. But no, Simon chooses to step into Jesus' request And in doing so, he stepped into calling and purpose. He stepped into the shaping of his identity. He stepped into a moment of self-realization. He stepped into a prophetic miracle, and he stepped into a supernatural manifestation. And all of that stuff happened because he exercised a simple choice and decision. Sometimes the most dynamic and transformative experiences of God sit on the other side of simple and natural decisions and choices. Simon chose to accommodate Jesus, and he took him to the middle of the lake, and there he demonstrated further willingness that wasn't so much here about invitation so much as it was about obedience. Jesus says to him, "Let down the nets for a catch." And the response of Simon demonstrates that his compliance is actually all about obedience. Simon says, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." Simon's rationale for complying with Jesus' request was obedience. He put down the nets because Jesus said so. Here's a question. Why obey a complete stranger? Plot the journey of Simon again. He's been fishing all night with no rewards. He's cleaning his nets and getting them ready for the next fishing shift. There's a crowd on the shore listening to a guy talking. He shows no interest in the guy. He shows no interest in the crowd. He shows no interest in the talk. He is interested only in washing his nets. But now in verse 4 and 5, not only is he interested, but he's invested. And this guy who previously he gave no attention to, now he's giving all of his attention to. In fact, now he is showing deference and submission to him. I mean, you look at it, it's like he's known this guy all of 5 minutes. The sum total of their conversation as we know it is just 2 sentences. Put out a little from the shore, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. So why then does Simon show compliance, submission, and obedience to a guy that he's never met before and with whom he's exchanged only a few sentences of conversation? Where does his confidence in this stranger come from? Well, we have to assume it's from sitting in the boat with Jesus, listening to him teaching the crowd. It's come from hearing and experiencing firsthand the heart and the words of Jesus. There is a trust, there is a basic level of confidence that is formed within Simon, having spent time in the Word in the presence of Jesus. When we spend time in the Word in the presence of Jesus, it develops faith and cultivates trust in him. The more we spend time with him, the more we journey with him, the more we spend time in his Word, the more our confidence grows and our trust deepens. However, what is encouraging, I think, is that Simon shows obedience and doubt at the same time within his response. He trusts, but he's unsure. He complies, but he's not expecting. He shows confidence. Because you say so, I'll let down the nets. But at the same time, he's not confident. We've worked hard all night, though, and we haven't caught anything. It's almost like he's saying, I'll do it for you out of respect for you, but I'm just not confident of the results. How refreshing is it to hear that? He is sitting in the actual manifest presence of the incarnate God. He is face to face with the Son of God, and he believes and doubts simultaneously. And notice that in response to that, Jesus doesn't spit the dummy out. There's no mention of Jesus going full tonto on Simon. How dare you question me? Do you know who I am? Turn the boat around, head to the shore. You've just ruined the moment. It was a beautiful moment, and you've ruined it with your demonic doubt. There's none of that. Because Jesus is patient with our doubts, and he lets us explore them. And that's what Simon did. He doubted, but he explored his doubt. He says, I've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. It's almost like he's saying, I don't really think we're going to catch anything, but just in case, I'll do it anyway. He's exploring his doubt. Or I suppose another way that you could view this and interpret this is maybe what Simon is doing here is setting Jesus' expectation levels. Look, we've been working hard all night here and we haven't caught anything. I'll put down the nets because you've asked me to, but I wouldn't hold your hopes up. I wouldn't expect anything. And we kind of smile at it and laugh at it, but how often do we do that? How often do we mansplain things to God or womansplain? How often do we kind of project manage situations for him and seek to set the expectations of the all-knowing God? Like, I could step into that God, but if I do this, this might happen and that might happen, or that's not going to work, God, because of this person and that situation and this situation. How often do we kind of project manage things and set out the expectations of the all-knowing God? Whatever way you view this response from Simon, the response comes because what Jesus has asked of him defies logic. Doesn't make sense. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expect different results. And that's kind of what Simon is calling out here. Look, we've been fishing all night and I haven't caught anything, but all right then, I'll let down the nets. Here's the thing. There are times that obedience to Jesus involves defying logic. It involves stepping into what doesn't seem like the rational response. It involves doing what doesn't seem like the natural or obvious thing to do. And that's where the faith bit comes in. And that's why doubt can rise up. That's why questions can exist. That's why reluctance can rise and mansplaining to the divine can take place. Because sometimes what we sense is the next step towards depths in relationship with Jesus, what we recognize as being involved in being obedient to him, doesn't always seem logical, rational, or natural. But Jesus doesn't get angry with us. He doesn't demonize us or cast us out of his presence. He's patient with us. Maybe today you need to begin to explore your doubts. Maybe today you need to step into what you sense is obedience to him, even although it doesn't seem logical or even rational. Maybe today you need to move from project managing the next step to just trusting in it. It strikes me that to have confidence but to question isn't wrong. And it strikes me that risk is stepping into what you question. Not really sure about this whole baptism thing, but I don't really get it. But in obedience, I'm going to step into it. I don't really get this whole baptism, the Holy Spirit thing. I've got loads of questions about it, and I'm not sure of it, but I hear your call to step into that, so I'm going to take that risk and step into it. I don't really get the whole tithing thing and why that's important, but I'm going to take the risk and step into it. I don't really understand. I've got a few question marks over what you're calling me to or where you're inviting me to go or what you're asking me to do for you, but out of obedience, I'm going to step into it. Perhaps faith is moving your confidence into your area of questioning and exploring it. Maybe, just maybe, your breakthrough, your miracle, your purpose and destiny, maybe the depths that your heart looks for involves you stepping over the great divide of doubt and logic and saying, I'm not sure, but just in case, I'm letting down my nets for a catch. However, the second thing that we draw from this exchange between Simon and Jesus is again a point about effort. Obedience involves effort. Simon's statement can be seen not just to communicate the challenge regarding the logical and rational response to Jesus' request, but it's also calling out the effort that's involved. Master, we've worked hard all night, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Read between the lines here. Simon is exhausted. He's exhausted physically, But he's also exhausted emotionally and mentally too. He's put in all that work. He's got no fruit for it. It's almost like he's saying that his capacity is at tipping point. He's put in loads of effort. He's seen no results. He's disappointed. He's downcast. He's frustrated. The last thing he wants to do is to fuel that further by putting in even more effort on low energy reserves, only to bring back up empty nets again. But he does it because Jesus asks him to. Obedience to Jesus is hard work. It involves effort. Yes, there is value in obedience. Yes, there are supernatural results and prophetic revelation and all that spiritual stuff. But it doesn't take away from the fact that first, there is effort involved. There is graft, hard work, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And we can at times be a little bit guilty of building this framework of faith whereby we kind of expect things to magically appear from God. Like he's going to zap everything into place with gold dust from heaven and manifestations of the Holy Spirit everywhere. He's going to unfold the pathway of life before us in something that even Walt Disney would be proud of. So we just sit back and we wait. When truth is, this faith stuff, this obedience stuff, this discipleship, it involves work. It involves effort. We want to see God move in our city and we want to see lives transformed. But we need to recognize that for that to happen, we don't just sit back in our churches every Sunday and just wait for it to happen. We need to put in the effort of seeking God, sharing faith and serving others. We believe that God is calling us as a church to host his glory, but we don't just sit in our back in our seats and wait for it to materialize. There's effort involved in the journey to the fullness of that. We need to press in together, to worship together, to seek him, to respond to what he's saying to us as a church, to structure for that, to give to that, to journey intentionally and actively into it. We get a prophetic word from God and a revelation, a promise, an insight that we sense to be true and it's covered with confirmation and it lands in our soul with an almighty impact. Well, we need to step into that actively and intentionally. We need to adjust to it, make room for it, put in the effort of pursuing it. I love the image that our General Superintendent Mark Pugh shared when he was here just a few weeks ago about the prophetic. And he says, prophetic words are like automatic doors. You've got to walk towards them before they'll open and you can step into what lies on the other side. And you know what? When we get revelations and promises, we don't just sit back and wait for them to happen. Sometimes we've got to walk towards them to see if the doors open and to step into what is on the other side. Obedience requires effort. What is the effort that perhaps you need to step into? Has your soul fallen asleep in the waiting? Is the prophetic promise and purpose in hibernation in your life? Maybe you need to shake the dust off of your soul and blow away the cobwebs. Maybe it's time to kickstart the spiritual engine, to rise up and to step into what is within you. Maybe it's time to recognize that actually there's work that needs to be done to realize this. Effort, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. It's time that we put our whole selves into what he's asking. Obedience involves effort. But the next verse is one that really challenges me, where we're going to park for the rest of our time together. It says there, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Track this. Jesus says, let down your nets for a catch. The disciples say, Master, we've worked really hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, we'll let down the nets. And then the passage says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish. Now, maybe this is poetic license, right? Permit me a bit of preacher's license. I think, see if it was me in the boat, if I was Simon, I would have probably just put down a net. Not as in like Annette the person, not taking her to the vet to put her down, but I mean like let down a net, one net, and just let's see what happens first. Or let's just cast off over one side, or let's just put a bit of the net in and let's see if there's any bites before we go all in and put everything into the water, before we go to all of this effort. And this is just my thoughts, and there's no direct reference to this in the Bible at all, but there is scriptural backing for the inference I'm about to make. With God, you have to go all in. It's not the hokey-cokey. Put it in, put it out, put it in, put it out, shake it all about. It's all in with Jesus. Obedience involves everything. Jesus says, let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish. I'd like to think that the fish didn't start swimming into the nets until all the nets were in the water. It was only full obedience, all in obedience, that brought the reward. Which means that not only was there effort involved, but there was a bit of time as well. It took time to get the nets into the water. And it wasn't as the nets began to hit the water that they were filling with fish. But when they had done so, when the nets were fully in the water, that's when the miracle happened. Sometimes it takes time to journey into obedience. Sometimes God takes us on a bit of a journey that involves changing components of our lives, changing the landscape and the contents of our lives and our soul. Sometimes he has to carve bits of us off and build parts of us up to enable us to step fully into obedience and into alignment with what he's asking of us. Sometimes he takes a bit of time and takes us on a journey to make us ready for what he wants us to step into. Obedience involves effort, and it involves time. And it involves journey too. It involves patience. And that's the bit we're not always so good at. We're like, we put in the effort, we want to see the results. I've started going back to the gym recently, and after 20 minutes of exercise, I'm like, where's the six-pack? Like, it looks like a six-pack of mints down there, but where's the six-pack? We often want, as soon as we put in the effort, we want to see the results, but obedience involves time, and journey, and effort, and patience. And it involves us being all in. When the nets were in the water, as Jesus is asked, that's when they began to fill with such a large number of fish. And we're so careful to call out the supernatural, miraculous nature of the catch of fish. And it is supernatural, and it is miraculous. We're told that the disciples were astonished at the catch of fish, Luke says. So even by their experience as fishermen, even by their reckoning, what was happening was extraordinary. But what I think is interesting is the way that it unfolds. Because fish being caught in a net isn't really supernatural or extraordinary. These guys have earned a living from this. Fish filling nets is not supernatural or extraordinary for them. It's natural and it's ordinary. And in fact, for Peter or for Simon, it's every day. What is supernatural about this is the volume of fish. Their nets fill to the point of breaking. That's talking about volume. And when you read that, the mental image here is almost of this sudden influx of fish into these nets, particularly when it's measured against the commentary of, we have been working hard all night and we haven't caught a single thing. And now not only are they catching fish, but it seems like every fish in the Sea of Galilee is swimming into their nets. It's like they can't say there's plenty of fish in the sea because they've got them all in their nets. What is happening here is that Jesus has given these guys a new lens. There's that theme again. What's happening here is naturally supernatural. Because here's the life that they have been invited into. They have worked hard all night and they haven't caught a single thing. But now in proximity to Jesus, they begin to see his divine influence on their everyday lives. This is the journey that they are being called to make. To journey in proximity to him for the rest of their days and to see his divine influence in their everyday, ordinary lives. This is the new lens for their soul. They're going to see the supernatural overlaid within the natural. And notice that in response to this, Simon falls before Jesus and he moves from calling him master, a colloquial term of respect for a teacher, an overseer, a person of authority, to then beginning to call him Lord and calling out his own sinful condition. This shows that Simon doesn't consider what has just happened as a fluke of nature. It's not a coincidence. It's not that Jesus has spotted a large shoal of fish and just at the right moment said, put out your boat and let down your nets, just the right moment to harvest those. He doesn't try and rationalize this. He's willing to see the supernatural divine influence within what for him is a natural and everyday activity. He receives a new lens to see life with. And obedience involves a new lens. We can often be quite guilty, can't we, of, you know, either we see Jesus in everything. Everything that happens, there's either a demon or an angel. Or we go to the other extreme where we don't want to be like that, so we refuse to see any of it. Whereas in actual fact, we need to find the sweet spot in the middle, which is allowing a new lens to come and being willing and prepared to see the supernatural divine influence of God overlaying the everyday and the ordinary. To be able to look and say, that situation, that wasn't a coincidence. God's hand did that. That thing, it might not seem like a big thing, but to me it was a big thing, and I believe that God made that happen. God spoke that conversation through that person. God brought those activities about. God got me my parking space, whatever you like, but maybe we just need to begin to be a little bit willing to see the supernatural overlaying the natural. Obedience requires a new lens. There's obviously more to this, though. Because this is a prophetic miracle. It's a prophetic metaphor. Jesus is calling for them to be fishers of people. That through Simon, the message of the gospel will be cast, just like he's cast that net, and will spread just as the net spread, and many will come to faith through the gospel ministry that Jesus is giving to him, just like those many fish filled that net. This is going to be his everyday, his definition. This is going to be his ordinary. And as we conclude on the thought, I can't help but notice something really significant in the detail. It says, when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Obedience involves cost. You're like, wow, the nets are breaking. It's so miraculous. But put yourself in the fisherman's sandals for a moment. Specifically, put yourself in their shoes in the moment between casting the nets and the invitation to leave the nets and follow him. We read this and we read it because it's in like text form. We just read it as this instantaneously as what happened. And we'll forget is this is narrating a situation that involved a period of time. This unraveled over a period of time. And in this moment, in the space between the two invitations, let down your nets for a catch, invitation one, lay down your nets and follow me, invitation two. In the moment between, which isn't quite as instantaneous, time happens there. There's a moment of bittersweet. The fish are filling their nets, and there's loads of them, but they're breaking the nets. In the moment between the manifestation of God and the call that would forever change everything, the gain came at a cost to them. Think about this. They're like, wow, look at all these fish. But they haven't yet come to the place of laying down their nets and following Jesus. So what's happening is they've got this massive gain, but their nets are breaking. Their nets are getting wrecked. We take that thought further. The supernatural and divine influence of God was dismantling that which to the fishermen was essential. Their nets were essential to their work. They were fishermen. It's how we were introduced to them. He looks along the shore. He sees fishermen washing their nets. This is their whole identity. Their nets were essential to their identity. And here's what we see is something quite profound then. in this moment, God dismantles what they see as essential to who they are, but is redundant to what God is calling them into. I think that's amazing. God dismantles what they see as essential to who they are, but is completely redundant to what God is calling them into. These guys were fishermen. But as God breaks the nets with his divine influence, he is in fact changing their identity, because from now on they will be fishers of people. There are times when we recognize that there is a bittersweet element to obedience. Obedience comes at a cost. And when we step fully into what God has for us, he will at times dismantle that which we view as essential to who we are, but he sees as redundant for what he's calling us into. It didn't matter that their nets were broken. They no longer required them to be and do what they are meant to be and do. That which was essential to them was made redundant, and it was God that made it redundant. And that which is essential to their identity was dismantled and made redundant, because from Luke 5 onwards, we would no longer view them and know them as fishermen, but we will always view them and know them as disciples. We're introduced to them as fishermen with their nets. But their nets are broken, they lay them down, and from that moment on, every time we see them as disciples. God's power broke their nets because their identity, that which had been their definition, could not carry or contain the extent of what God had for them. It's the bittersweet of obedience. Obedience will always bring reward, and we won't always see the full extent of that reward this side of eternity, but this we do know: God says obedience is better than sacrifice. And obedience, faith, discipleship, following Jesus, it comes at a cost. As we step out into what he's calling us, as we step out into obedience, God will begin to dismantle aspects of our lives that we might think are vital and essential. Relationships, characteristics, connections, opportunities, resources, things that we view as part of who we are and our journey of life. And then when we step out in obedience, God begins to move powerfully, and it's wonderful, but with it comes change. The mountaintop is followed by the valley. The breakthrough is chased by some form of heartache or difficulty, or God just begins to put his finger in stuff and moves the pieces about within us, and the landscape of life changes, and that stuff that normally sat on the horizon begins to disappear or begins to move, and it can be sore and it can be difficult and it can be challenging and it can be uncomfortable. And in the process, our shape and our definition begins to alter. In the process of obedience is the shaping of God. He breaks that which is our nets, that in which we have placed our value, that which we hold as our identity, that which we view as our definition, and he breaks it because it's too small for us. It's too limiting for us. It cannot carry or contain the extent of what God has for us and what he's calling us into. He fills it, yes. The power of God filled their nets, but broke through their nets. God comes to the shape of who we are, and he fills us. Yes, he fills us with his power and reality, and then he begins to transform us and shape us into what we are called to be. And at times he has to carve, at times he cuts back, at times he reshapes, at times he breaks through, at times he bursts open the stuff that we think is essential. He says, actually, in this next season of your journey, this is redundant to who you are and what I'm calling you into. You need to lay it down and follow me. You need to lay it down and follow what I am doing and where I am leading you. The fishermen left their nets and followed Jesus. They left that definition, an identity of fishermen, to forever be in proximity to Jesus as his disciples. How they will forever throughout the passage of time be known. And this morning, I want to pause on this for a moment, because I think God's breathing on this, and I find it really challenging personally. This was a real prophetic metaphor. They let down the nets, which symbolized what they did every day, and the fish supernaturally swimmed into the nets, and the fish symbolized the new thing that God was doing, which was he was going to make them fishers of people. But the new broke the old. The new thing that God was doing broke the old. Sometimes we have to let God dismantle some stuff. Sometimes we need to recognize that we need to lay down some things in order to fully move with the new thing that God is doing. And I think it's wonderful the way that this new thing swept into the old. It wasn't like, you know, he could have done this call in any other way, couldn't he? He could have used any other miracle, any other moment. He could have just said to them, put down your nets and follow me, and a supernatural thing would have happened, but he brings them into this connection with community. He invites them to go deeper. He invites them to make a choice. And in this moment, this new broke the old, and they laid everything down to pursue him. And this morning, I kind of wonder, what are your nets? What is it that you've attached your value to? What is it that holds your identity? That you might view as being really essential to who you are. Actually, as God begins to move within you, he's like, that's going to be redundant for what I've got for you and what is ahead. Lay down your nets and follow me. Lay down your nets and follow where I'm going and what I'm doing. Because what I'm doing is so transformative. It's going to change you forever.